That mic doesn't sound like, is it working?
You're on.
I am on? Okay. All right. We're going to have the lesson this morning on the raising of Lazarus. The scripture that we're going to be using is John chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, well, I suggest you turn there. It's a lot easier to keep up and so forth. And the different versions that we have sometimes I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. But a lot of times the different verses, bring out a different thought. So I recommend that you look at your book and you have a comment. Well, certainly make those comments. We get most of our lesson when everyone is involved. So you have a comment, feel free to make that comment. I will have to say, last week, one of my hearing aids decided it's going to quit. And then later on in the week, the other one decided he would join it. So luckily I have an old one, so I can only halfway hear normally, and now I have of that because I just have one hearing aid. So when you do make a comment, please speak up or I may not hear you. So let's get into the lesson. The raising of Lazarus. This is a comment that comes from the Gospel Advocate commentary on John. And it says, although ample evidence to believe in Jesus as a Son of God were available, God did not force individuals to accept Jesus' claims. Individuals were given reason to believe, yet they maintained their freedom to doubt. And I think as we study this lesson on the miracles of Jesus, we've already seen this to be true. That a lot of people saw what Jesus did, what he said, and they knew the prophecy concerning the Messiah coming, yet there were those who believed, which was good, but there were also many more who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And I think that this is the same problem that we have in our world today. There's ample evidence to show that Jesus is the Son of God, but we are free to choose. God did not make us as robots, that he pushes a button, we do what he tells us to do. He gave us evidence when we read it and study it, that we see that he is our creator. There's no other explanation for it. The Big Bang Theory just simply does not make sense. That these things happen by just two objects coming together and creating the world doesn't make sense. We are too wonderfully made as human beings for we not to have a divine planner, a divine creator, and our God is that one who did it. And we need to continually realize that we fall under this statement just as clearly as anybody did on the days surrounding the life and the death of Lazarus. Another point that we want to, that will come out in our lesson today, is we also see the pull of human relationships and pride and the reaction of the Jewish leaders. In John 12, verses 42 through 43, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And we look at this lesson and other lessons where we see the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish people, spoke in opposition to Jesus, even though they saw the miracles, yet they still would not believe and be obedient. And those that did believe were afraid of the Jews because they'd say, if you confess Jesus, then you're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. And they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. Which is more important? Following God's word or following man's word? And the view of some, it's following man's word. And so we have to be careful, and we have to look and see that this is still true today. That despite what the Bible says, there will be those who say, it doesn't say that in my Bible because I've tore it out. That doesn't change anything. I think doesn't amount to a hill of beans. What's important is what God said. And our thinking has got to be encompassed in that which God has said in his written word and has taught us. Yes, we're free moral agents. We can choose, but we best choose wisely. This first part of this, where it talks about the pull of human relationships, I think in this lesson, perhaps more than any other of the miracles that we've studied this far, we're going to see the human side of Jesus. We're going to see the compassion. Yeah, he had that in other miracles. But I don't think you see the love factor being pulled out in the others that we see here. Did he love those on whom he performed miracles? Absolutely. But we know in our relationship, there are those that we're just simply closer to. And I'm not talking just necessarily about our blood family. I'm talking about, you know, our relationships as the body of Christ, and also our relationships with the world. There are those people out in the world that we would rather be around than other people. We have close friends. And we really care for them. And we see this in this story about the miracle of Jesus. This lesson text provides a glimpse into the personal life of Jesus, one filled with love and compassion for Lazarus and his sisters. How comforting to know that even Jesus wept on occasion, and how thrilling to be reminded of his power over death. You know, this is a comforting passage to me, because I come to realize it's okay if you're close enough to somebody to cry at their passing. I don't do well at funerals because I get emotional. But Jesus shows also that he got emotional at time too. I think we see it here. We also see it in his prayer in the garden. And I'm sure there were other times in the lives of Jesus that's not recorded in Scripture where he was emotional. But here it's really good to know that Jesus is like we are while he walked here upon this earth. He was touched by human emotion. You pinch him, he said, ouch. You cut him, and he bleeds. He was a man. And a man, certainly sent from God, well, part of God. But we need to realize that he was human, and he can be touched with our feelings. The raising of Lazarus is, let me get this right in a minute, was the raising of Lazarus, the only time Jesus raised someone from the dead?
No.
Who else did he raise from the dead?
The mother's son. A mother's son.
Okay. Mother's son. Who else? Say again. Yeah, a little girl, wasn't that, was that soldiers?
No.
Well, I got it written down here. He raised the son of the widow of Nain in Luke 7, and then he raised the daughter of Jairus in Luke 8. So this in and of itself is not something unusual. Jesus had done this before in raising Lazarus. What was so different about Jesus raising Lazarus? What's that? Why is that significant?
He began decomposing.
His body had already begun to decompose. But after 4 days, you know, and Martha will bring that out in the passage. Length of time that Lazarus had been in the grave. John 11 and verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Where's Bethany? It's 2 miles from Jerusalem. That's significant also, the closeness of the town. And we'll bring that out a little bit more as we get along in our lesson. Bethany was a small town on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. Where was Jesus at the time of Mary and Martha sent for him? Aha! I bet I got you on this one. I don't know either. But again, the commentary, the Gospel Advocate commentary on John, the author says that he was in teaching in the region of Perea, which is on or near the Jordan River and the Salt Sea or Dead Sea, approximately 30 or 40 miles from Bethany. And so this is kind of important too, you know, as far as the time element and getting the message, and then he getting back to Jerusalem, and the fact that he didn't come immediately upon getting the message. Now, in this chapter, I don't cover every verse, but I will cover a good deal of them. Verses 3 and 4. Therefore the sisters, because Lazarus was sick, sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now this statement by Jesus is something that again will be borne out as far as the lesson is concerned, but it's strange to our ears, you know. This sickness is not unto death. And what happens to Lazarus? He dies. Let's get the rest of the story now. Verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Does that make sense to anybody from a human standpoint?
But he knew what was coming.
I'm sorry?
He knew what was coming.
Right here. That I like that those last few words. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, was it clear? You know, we've got to skip scripture, and it was very clear to us, but can you not understand the feeling of Mary and Martha when Jesus didn't come immediately, or Jesus didn't just speak the words and heal their brother. Why did Jesus not go immediately or simply speak in order that Lazarus might be healed instead of waiting to go and see him 2 days later? And I think we've already answered that question a little bit. Got ahead of myself. Verse 11 through 13. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. Is it strange to us that when someone is sick, that they sleep a lot? If you're sick with the flu and you are running fever, the doctor gives you some medication, generally that medication will have some, generally that medication will have something in it that will make you sleep. And so we need to remember that is, I may have shut it off. I got warm. I had to pull my coat off.
Still hanging down.
I think it's okay now.
Hanging on your glasses. It's hanging on your
glasses. Up again. On my glasses. Intermission. If someone is sleeping, that generally means that they're resting, and the body is healing itself, along with the medication sometimes. But again, if you were one of Jesus' disciples when he said that, would you not have said that basically the same time, if he's sleeping, he's going to get well? But listen then what he says in 13. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. So they didn't understand, but they're going to a little bit more. 14 and 15. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. When did Lazarus die during this time frame we're talking about? We aren't really told. But the fact that he was in the tomb for 4 days, which we'll read later on, indicates that he died shortly after Mary and Martha sent the word to Jesus about him being sick. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Why was Jesus glad that he was not there when Lazarus died?
More teaching.
What?
More teaching.
More teaching, so that their faith could be strengthened about the event that is about to happen. And certainly, as we begin studying and growing as a Christian, the more we know, the more we grow. Paul says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God. So we need to do these things. And our faith needs to grow as we read about Jesus and read about the things that he did and read his word and the things that he has commanded us to do. We should grow in our faith just as they were going to grow as a result of this miracle. This way, the miracle was a stronger indication that Jesus was the Son of God. Lazarus is dead. and he's in the grave. And Jesus is going to him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. What is the significance of many Jews being there when Jesus came?
Witnesses?
That's good. Okay. The fact of the matter is, as we have studied before, the Pharisees, the priests, the hierarchy of the Jewish religion were already plotting to kill him. And he had just escaped from Jerusalem. This is near the end of his ministry. This is in his final days. And we need to realize that they already had threatened to kill him and had tried to take him, and he disappeared among them. And they'd gone off at least around the land of Perea, some distance away. And now he's back in Bethany. He's going back in Bethany, going back to Bethany, which is how far away from Jerusalem? 2 miles. And there are Jews who are coming there to this man. And I think you see something else about Lazarus here and Mary and Martha, that they were well thought of. So people are coming to comfort the family. They had threatened to kill Jesus. Thomas even is going to say, or has said in verse 16, "Let us go with him that we might die with him." They had warned Jesus. "Jesus, you sure you want to go to Jerusalem? You want to go to Bethany, that close to Jerusalem? You know they're threatening to kill you." But yet, that's what Jesus did. His work was not done here upon this earth. He would not allow anything to keep him from doing that which the Father wanted him and commanded him to do. Verse 20 through 22. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" What's significant about that statement?
She had faith
in believing that Jesus was fully capable of saving Lazarus had he been there. She had faith. And we're going to question that just a little bit though here in just a minute. Verse 22 then, he says, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." It's another pretty significant statement of faith. But let's go on a little further. "Did Martha have faith that Jesus could have saved the life of Lazarus?" And we've covered that one. "Did she believe that Jesus could raise her brother?" Seems to indicate it. 23 through 26. "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.'" Do you believe this? Maybe a better question would be, do we believe this? Because it's we who are living today. But we look at this parable, and we see that there's a kind of a go-between here, between the physical and the spiritual. Jesus talks about the resurrection, but he's also saying that he has the power to raise people from the dead, both the physical and the spiritual. And certainly, as we look at this, and we see the belief factor here. How closely entwined is belief and faith? Mary says it like this. Love and marriage, isn't it? You can't have both without the other. Can't have one without the other. And so many times we talk about people saying that I believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and that gives me salvation. I've often wondered if they ever thought about Satan and his angels. The fact that they also believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We just simply have to look at the scripture and study and see the plan that God designed for the salvation of mankind. Jesus is telling Martha here that Lazarus will live physically again. And, well, let's just go on a little bit further. I'll make that comment later. Verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world." Important statement here. A statement that we also must make as Christian people. That we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And based upon that belief, do what he commands us to do. 28 through 30. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Why did Jesus meet with Mary and Martha by themselves? Another one of those things where the scripture doesn't tell us, really. We just kind of read between the lines. But what just
probably comfort.
Comfort.
I mean, they were very close.
Yeah. That he wanted to be with them alone, to comfort them, to show his love for them, his concern for them, and to just as he told Martha here. Previously, in previous verses, he's going to live again. You know, be comforted. You know, again, you see the compassion, the love, the emotions that we're pouring out here, and you're going to see them even more in some later verses. When then the Jews who were with her in the house, that's Mary, is the her. And comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." And again, we look at Mary basically saying the same thing that Martha did, that if you'd been there, my brother wouldn't have died. And another significant part here is the Jews that followed Mary. We'll see that borne out later on in the chapter, as some of them will believe and some will go report these things to the Pharisees. But we look at what's happening here, and again, we see Jesus and his desire to comfort. And we also see, I think, the feeling that Mary had in Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And she bowed down before him, fell down at his feet. 33 and 35. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. We look at this verse and you know, just, we have been there, undoubtedly, when a loved one has died, and it just, the feeling inside is just indescribable. The pain, the anguish, the love that we have for that loved one, it's hard for us to turn loose. And I've often said the tears of sorrow that we shed is not for the loved one who is going on to be with God, but it's for ourselves and the fact that we won't be able to be with them anymore. We won't be able to have the conversations that we had. And verse 34, then Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Then verse 35, Jesus wept. There is absolutely no doubt about the close relationship that Lazarus, Mary, Martha had to Jesus and vice versa. Jesus loved Lazarus. I have a best friend. Been close since college days, and we're still close. Even though he lives in Tennessee and we're down in Southern Florida, after Central Florida, I guess you'd say. But we need to realize that we have friends that are like brothers, and you know, when they pass, we mourn their passing, and Jesus is mourning. It's okay to weep. Verses 36 and 37, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" It's a question, but it's almost like a statement too. Maybe those people who believed in Jesus, you know, said, "Why didn't you come? Why didn't you speak? You could have done this." Then we go back to what we read previously when Jesus said he's going to live again. Verses 38 through 40. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." What happened to Martha's faith? Yeah, it just, she was human. Let's just put it that way. She was human. He's been dead. He's already decaying, as we said before. And she points out the fact that he is decaying because of the stench of the human body decaying. And it's too late. It's too late. But is it ever too late? Is it ever too late to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, being the one who can give us a salvation from our sins. I think this lesson kind of points that out too. It's never too late. Don't give up the ship. You know, you take the good and the bad and live your life as it comes and goes, and trust in God to save you. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He can save us regardless of our circumstances. If an illness comes upon us, have faith that God will take care of us. He will. Whether it's here and today or in eternity, when we are serving God, He is going to care for us. Death is something that we all will face. We just don't know when. Either that, or Jesus is going to come to bring us back to the Father. Let's keep our faith in that. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" How can the death of Lazarus bring glory to God at this point? Pretty simple. Raise Him from the dead. Verse 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank You that You have heard Me." This is almost, you know, you read it at first, you think that he's saying a prayer to the Father, and I guess in a sense He is, but it's a thank you prayer. "I thank You that You have heard Me, that You hearken to the things that I ask of You." Going a little bit further, 42. "And I know that you always hear Me, but because of the people that are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that You sent Me." Now there, we're getting to the crux of the matter now. God is going to glorify Jesus by answering His plea. And in that, God will be glorified because of what is done. 43. "Now when He said these things, He cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Why was it necessary for Him to use a loud voice? He wanted everybody to hear. And maybe even to those who kind of nodded off a little bit, that would wake them up. "Lazarus, come forth." Guy Woods, in his commentary on John, states, "This loud cry was not, of course, because it was necessary thus to speak in order for Lazarus to hear, nor, as some assert, because of the tension and excitement which he felt, but for the benefit of those present, it was important that all of these should note that Lazarus came forth at the command of Jesus and because of it." And we need to look at that and realize that is so true. God is going to be glorified because Lazarus is about to come out of the grave. "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.' Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary..." Well, let's stop right there. Let's talk about the verse 44. I don't know what you see in this, but it was the custom to wrap the dead and cloth for their burial. And so he came out just as they had him. I don't know if he was walking like this because his feet were bound, or I don't know how, you know, your imagination is as good as mine. But when Lazarus came forth and they took the grave cloths off of him, he was whole and just like he was when he was living. That body that had been decaying was new again. And the illness that he had died from was no longer there. Where do I read that? I just know it. I don't, can't read it. That was Weldon Parkinson talking.
I think also this is the only example of Jesus ever praying in public. He explained why he did it so the people would understand it was God's power.
Yeah, and that's an important point. Good point, Bill. But we need to realize that God hears our prayer. He may not act like we will always want him to, but he will do what's best for us. And again, I think the fact that he encouraged Martha to believe, to have faith in him, is something we really need to take home with us. We need also to believe and have faith in him. In verse 45 then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. I don't understand. Just as I don't understand today, when people see, when people read about the things that Jesus did, that they can't comprehend that truly he is the Son of God, and that we, through him, can have eternal life. Chuck?
Do you think this could have been a secondary reason for him also raising Lazarus? It was in Bethany. It was near the end of his ministry. Kind of pushed him over the edge. I mean, they threatened to kill him. They wanted to kill him. But before, when he healed the blind man, they wanted to make sure, was he really blind? Those other people that he raised from the dead hadn't begun to decay. They could have said, well, you know, they really weren't dead. They were just kind of unconscious, and then they woke up again. But this one kind of puts an exclamation point on him being God. The man was decomposing. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. There was no way you could refute he raised him from the dead. Absolutely. And it was right there in front of the Jews, in front of the Pharisees. And he needed to go to the cross. That was God's will, for him to die on the cross. And he needed the people to be ready to send him there. And I think that may have been a secondary reason.
I agree 100%. That this just kind of expedited the matters. You know, that the Jews already were planning to kill him. He put him in position to be betrayed and also then to be taken, to be crucified, and die upon the cross. But this is pretty significant there. Thus, the very mourners who doubted him were agents in the completion of the miracle. In their participation, the mourners, in fact, became part of the sign, and therefore were undeniable witnesses to the power of Jesus. Y'all can read that name. I can't pronounce it, so y'all just have to read it. I can say that my friend Gerald, you know, and you think I know who it is. I don't. But we look at this, and even those who were there who went to the Pharisees, could not deny the fact that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. They were witnesses too. The excuse, and I use this, not a reason, the excuse that the Pharisees gave was that the Romans would take away their power when they heard that Jesus, the King of the Jews, was real. Excuse. They wanted the power. They weren't afraid so much of the Romans. They used that for their excuse. And so we're going to see, well, not in this lesson anyway, but you're going to see later on that Jesus does rise from the dead. I won't give you a test today. I had one ready, but we don't have time for it. All lucky. Next week, Doug will start a new series, Samuel, Judges, and Prophet. The lesson is the mother of Samuel. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1. 8 through 22 is where the lesson's supposed to be, but we have a tendency to take more than that. So just read the whole chapter. Thank you for your participation and your attention.
Yeah.